Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you guys know the creeps of the week already?
Well, there's a few things to talk about this week.
Okay.
Because we've been inundated with the world's most boring documentary that I did attempt to watch, and it's over 2.5 hours long. It's David Blaine floating through the sky.
Sorry, that's a documentary.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let that one sit down on the floor.
Oh, absolutely.
Literally nothing at all.
So many people sent it to us. They were like...
I think they were like, look, it's Launch Air Larry 2.0. How dare he?
No. I think there's been a lot of people feeling protective of Launch Air Larry and thinking, fuck you, Blaine. Yeah. Like, has he made any mention of the fact that this is an homage to a far greater feat that was already
accomplished? You're right, he hasn't. And then he just keeps recalling back to the film Up, which of course was based on Lawn Chair Larry.
Yeah.
Get to the origins of the story.
Oh my God.
Put yourself back in a block of ice. He did, though, the opening, right?
Over London. That was the best one. Eat your tomatoes and people throw at you again.
The whole documentary opens with him and his daughter. He is a very unusual man. And
Absolutely.
He has a very unusual way. And even his daughter doesn't quite know how to react when he says...
I didn't know he procreated.
Well, here's what the cold thing is. He was decided he'd stop the maximum danger stunts when she was a small baby. And I think 6 years or so have passed and she's old enough now to have a dead father, according to him. That's kind of what's happening.
Daddy so, Dave.
He's my creep of the week.
Oh, savage.
He's a PFA specialist, you know, that way you can feel him penetrating from a YouTube channel.
Absolutely.
He has those dead face, oh man, you know, those people that you start a conversation with at a party and then immediately you're like, Jesus Christ, how do I get out of here?
Oh my God, he's still talking.
Yeah.
Do you know what it kind of reminded me of as well was the Enduring Love movie and book. Do you ever remember? There's some reason, perhaps it was the Lawn Chair Larry episode that we were talking about this sequence. And I was telling you all about the opening bit of this book where there's some people out for like a recreational hot air balloon flight on a nice summer's day and a stray gust of wind takes it up in the air with just a small child in the basket and all these like onlookers rush to hang on to the basket drag the balloon back down until finally there's just one person still hanging on and then he lets go. And the image of that guy after he's hit the ground in the movie is...
Sorry,
I swear, the last time I was watching it, I was trying to eat spaghetti bolognese and I had to stop eating.
Splat.
You wouldn't believe the amount of things.
And I didn't like return to it.
Incidents that happened this week, Sophie.
Really, this week alone?
Because what about the child who got whipped up on an elaborate kite during a kiting festival?
Yeah, just this week.
What? 3-year-old. Horrendously.
Now, goes it, really high.
It is. Now that we know she lived, everything's fine. It's a hilarious piece of footage altogether. So she gets whipped up. Like,
is it Jen?
In the air, I'd say, let's say, 100 feet maybe, Soph. Like, everyone, the crowd, like, immediately, on instinct it seems, gather together like a bunch of ants to form, like, a human crash barrier beneath her and, like, oh, follow right, her okay. around.
Oh, wow.
And then she's...
Oh, my God, I'm watching it.
That's it, you see.
Okay.
Everything is dangerous.
The actual kites are the kite most is not just floating in the air. It's like flicking her around and around and around.
It's unbelievable. So I was watching that and then people were sending
is
that
she holding
through.
On or is she caught in it?
She got caught up in a load of the, you know, this, like in, they put kites up now in invisible wires. So
oh
just
my,
like,
oh innocent. My God. And the crowd got her.
Yeah.
They Jesus got her.
They got her.
Christ.
I know. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And for the third incident of aeronautical incidents. Let me get my
sorry,
stuff
my
up here.
YouTube sidebar is just like straight away like, hey, what about watching this documentary on the loneliest animals in nature?
Oh, God.
The last living pair. And look at the thumbnail image.
Who
it's
are
just
they?
This absolute like monster of a beast. What is it? It looks like a turtle that's really let itself go, basically. Anyway,
it looks like
sorry.
A Weinstein.
This is reminding me of, I went climbing yesterday with Rufus. We've started going climbing and I just got my kind of like little certificate to, you know, so that I can belay him on the ropes.
Okay.
And I was doing the
first. Is this
first
like a kayaking situation? Where we all got made kayak constructors one summer. Remember that?
Did you guys do that?
Literally everybody in the class.
Literally everyone. You didn't even have to do anything. Just look and be able to like identify that,
and
yes, that's a kayak. And then people
that's
are like,
most
by all means,
thing I've
instruct
ever
people,
had.
You two.
So I think we were in Delphi.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love Delphi.
But like, I put him on the rope, right? And like, sent him off up the wall, happy days. And just as he was reaching the top of the climb, and it's the first time he's reached the top, like, and not kind of wanted to stop halfway. He was like, I'm finally doing it. I reached the top. And I suddenly got this flash panic of like, did I even tie that fucking rope to him? I was just going through the motions, as is all parenthood.
You could easily have stopped his fall with your physical body. I mean, that's an easy plus kids.
But you know, my aim wouldn't be great.
Wouldn't be ideal.
Anyway, look, long story short, I had tied him to the harness. TG.
So
TG.
Here, third incident, right?
Okay.
Sorry, I'll stop talking in about 4 seconds.
From pilot, you're supposed to talk.
Reports seeing guy in jetpack at 3,000 feet. Okay. So the FBI, this happened Wednesday.
I mean.
The FBI is investigating following the sighting from two pilots on two separate flights near Los Angeles International Airport. So.
Why were the planes down so low? Or
were
they on
their
way
up? They were landing.
Ah.
They were coming or going. So several US blah, blah, blah. So in the recording, one pilot says, Tower, America, 1997, we just passed a guy in a jetpack. Control responds, America, 1997, okay, were they off to your left or right hand side? And he says, off to the left side, maybe 300 yards or so.
Left?
Our
what the
altitude.
Fuck does left mean when you're in midair?
I know. We just saw a guy pass us in a jetpack, another
class.
Plane. Use caution is what the
advice
was.
I'd love to get a delivery
was.
Bag on something. Like just fucking just some guy absolutely nailing
McDonald's.
His deliveries.
Oh
yeah. Oh
no, because that poor delivery man.
I know. Why? The milkshake spilling all inside of the
oh, no. I was actually talking about the hit and run.
Oh fuck.
No, right. We have to this is a
oh god, that is that Cut. Did that happen?
Yes, there was a big
he died.
Protest.
Yeah, he died. It was dead.
Oh my god,
yeah.
I'm
and
so sorry. I've just been not on the internet this week. I'm so sorry, I didn't know.
Fuck,
this
RIP.
Is a bit to cut.
And they're doing the Lord's
yeah.
work.
They are.
No, we can keep this in. Like that was an honest mistake. I'm sorry.
No, no. So anyway, this guy and then I was like, what happened to jetpacks? It's impossible to come back from that. That was incredibly sad what happened
what
to that
happened
guy.
To jetpack?
The jetpack guy. So they just he was just jetting around, minding his own beeswax at 3,000 feet.
If it was Elon Musk taking the baby out for a walk.
Of course it was.
And it was just like, just out of view was the little pram with the jetpack.
So then I was like, what happened to jetpacks?
Yeah.
So you can still buy one for 350 grand. But there's some
pocket change.
So I'll get one after.
Can we expense one for the creep time?
My secondhand Tesla. I was like, how many months of years would I have to, if I saved up all my creep money, would I be able to buy that Tesla?
The secondhand one or the first?
The secondhand one,
the 40 grand.
Yeah, just at 4 years, I think.
That's just 1 month of Patreon, really. If you'd all just fucking get on it and give us your money.
Just get on
anyway, it. Anyway, you can buy one. They are available, but they kind of went out of fashion a bit. Do you know what went into fashion? The water jetpacks, the ones you can do on your Hollybops.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to look for some disasters. There's no death.
Disasters involving them.
I couldn't find anything funny. I'll put it that way. Anyway, that's my.
You don't have a crochet hook on you, do you?
Oh, my God.
I have the craft box. I do have my craft box down the.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
Well, I might be able to wing it for a little while. I might just borrow it in a sec.
That is the most craft creep dive.
You mean that's the most creep dive interlude ever?
Awesome.
Okay, I've got creeps of the week, courtesy of listener Killian. Cillian Murray.
Oh, hiya. Very close to Cillian Murphy. That must be annoying. People are like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. My name is Cillian Murray. They're like, sorry, what did you say?
Murphy?
Cillian Murphy.
Luckily, he's not an aspiring actor. Okay, this whole article is just so brilliantly written as well. Now, did you guys come across these two? Headline, wife, quote, always suspected husband of having sex with his mother.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
And then there's like, there's Dan first. The wife who found her husband having sex with his mother on their couch always suspected something was on between them.
Oh, God. Go for it. Go on. This is brilliant.
Now, it's so good that all they've really managed to round up of this guy, the motherfucker.
Can we pause just for a second?
Sure.
I think there's a ringing.
A ringing?
I might be insane.
Oh, sorry, you were making motions. Yeah, and like, then I thought, actually, hi. She's just waving.
Okay.
I was
saying, hi.
Is there a ringing? Because I have been hearing ringing in my ear. It's in your ears. Oh, it's so
cute. Beep, 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 beep. It is there.
No, no, it's not there, but this one's very loud.
Oh.
I'm just at the point where, like,
same what?
The mental toll is taking up physically, you know?
Oh, God, listening to everybody. Have you not?
No.
Are you worried about going back?
No, just so many things.
Yeah.
You know, my best friend's mom is dying
in the hospital.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she was like my second mom.
Very sad. Oh, life. What people a joy it is.
With their mom. So you're still in the wheelhouse of this week's creeps.
We are just flying from pillar to post here. Grimness, it's real life drama to Americana drama.
Okay, so all they've been able to round up in terms of kind of visual stuff of this motherfucker, Tony, is clips and stills of him from this Christmas video. So he's just in all the articles, like wearing a little Santa hat.
Is that his mom?
With his beard. That is the mom. Yeah, Cheryl. No.
Why are we looking at them?
Why are the incestuous couples never hot? They're never hot people.
I think it's the option issue.
Yeah, that you don't really.
No way.
If it's been offered to you, you don't have to.
Well, that's it.
Look inside.
Your house. Bumble's not working for me, so I'm just going to open the door.
I'm going to lower down my location to just
my home.
Not .ie. 2 of a kilometer.
Okay, so basically, Laurie is the
Cheryl's
wife.
Cheryl's available.
Cheryl is Ma Cheryl. And Tony Lavoie Jr. is the motherfucker. So basically, they were all living in the same house, which obviously, you know, current climes, very common.
Very.
A lot of people living with their in-laws. Mm-hmm. So everyone, keep your eyes peeled. And don't be looking at your hot 63-year-old mother, Tony. Tony. So basically the wife just walked in on Cheryl naked on top of her son, Tony. On the couch in the living room of the communal boarding house where all three live.
What?
So it's so grotty. Messy. It's grotty. Tony Lavoie, 43, Later told police the sex just happened.
Right.
After they began kissing while playing a video game and then removing each other's clothes. So
oh
that
my God,
is,
I actually feel physically ill.
I know.
It's making me go as well. I think it's the image, having the literal picture of them. It's giving me a powerful no.
I just don't know why her on top as well is like real grim.
It's the fully nude option as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I don't know. Nothing in here but a pair of old elephant skins writhing on a couch.
But and then so you're one fiance
so,
of Tony.
So anyway, the wife
in.
Walked in, right? Now her and Tony had been like not getting on great, were a bit estranged, and apparently she just saw what she'd always suspected, confirmed vividly and fluence right in front of her. And she walked straight through the living room up to her own bedroom, where she called the police on them.
Because is it illegal?
In this state where they are, I believe it's Massachusetts. I think it's Massachusetts. Scrolling quickly. Where is it? Anyway, it's America. Something wrong with America, all right. Yeah, Massachusetts.
We know.
It's illegal there. So the police officer, Mark Caddy, arrived and he took statements. There was some kind of like special, like a sort of element of the report that isn't being reported in the media, but like is a particular detail. So, and it's just referred to as an intimate question, right? So the officer says to Laurie, you know, when he's taking her statement, she gives him this kind of intimate detail.
Okay.
That will like seemingly confirm. She's the wife.
Yeah.
That will seemingly kind of confirm what's taken place.
Something on the mother's tit or something.
Or like maybe a particular type of sex act that they're doing. I'm not sure. But the fact that it's not being specified is just leaving my mind open to all kinds of horrors.
I don't know if you could see whether, what type of sex act, what, I mean.
If you walk in, what are you seeing in the flash? You're just seeing kind of general directions people are
facing.
Yeah,
you wouldn't stop there and be like, there's the spread eagle or
whatever. Oh God,
yeah.
69 but you would be so grim. But then like on top with 69... Oh, that's got to be one of the worst things to
I'm depending
witness.
On where...
Because they're not
angle
on their side.
Yeah, and like what angle you walked into the room at is going to be particularly
God.
Like... Actually, there's no good
there's
angle
no
to walk in
angle.
To see your mother-in-law on top of your husband.
No. Oh, God.
69's
got to be the worst.
What side would you prefer to come in on? I think I'd prefer...
Side angle.
Side angle.
Yeah. Ooh!
Oh,
that's so gross.
This is gross.
So
yeah,
Laurie is the safest.
Yeah, why? Because you're just seeing bare arse pumping.
Or no, if they're 69ing, and then if you walk in his
that
feet
undercarriage,
wait,
69
you're gonna make eye contact
things.
With your mother-in-law,
but you're literally seeing her suck his dick.
But the opposite,
the opposite
is
side
go walk in the other way
is your eye contact with the anus.
I'll take the other way.
You want
would
anus?
You? Then you're kind of gonna make. Backwards eye contact with your husband.
Yeah, I'd rather that than see my...
Seeing his eyes roll to the back of his head.
I would rather see that.
No.
I think I'd be
no, I'm on the other side of this fence.
Really?
No, I want the fellating.
I will say that for your side, you wouldn't
rather than
immediately... You probably wouldn't immediately recognize your mother-in-law from that angle.
Yeah.
Unless
so
you've
that's one
always
benefit.
Suspected as Laurie has.
What does that even mean?
That she always thought there was something a bit ick.
Why?
Even though she did go all the way into marrying this guy with worries that there was something ick
so
between him and his mom.
So the fact that we are reading this and have just seen a picture of them means they've been
arrested
charged.
And charged with felony incest. Yes. And they've all been asked about the intimate question. But what is it?
Do you not know?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Damn.
There's some element to this that is only being referred to as the intimate question. That's what I mean. Is it like, is it about the position? Is it, were they doing something extra weird?
So
like,
how did
I don't
she,
know how you get extra weird from mother-son sex.
But how did she prove? How did they prove? So she says they're just having sex and then the police arrive. They're like, no, we weren't.
No, because they're all admitting it.
Oh.
Like your man, Tony Jr., is like, yes, we did have sex. It just happened. And then
of course
when Officer Katie was like, but how did it just happen? He was like, I don't know. It just happened. And then Officer Katie says, I asked him if they had clothes on. He said, no, we took off each other's clothes. God.
Gross.
And then he insists that it was the first time we have ever done anything like
bullshit.
This.
What a coinkadink.
That someone should walk in the first time.
Yeah.
Totally.
Chances.
That chances of that.
Unlikely.
What video game were they playing that it then escalated to incest?
Something Crash sex Bandicoot. Based. Crash Bandicoot.
Notoriously.
Pokemon
horny.
Go or something? Pokemon.
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 Oh, very
good. I thought you were going to say Pokemon. Go fuck your mom.
See, this is why Sophie is very good at this and why you shouldn't start a sentence till you know the ending in your head.
Cheryl absolutely agrees that the sex was consensual. That's mom.
Oh,
well, that's
positive.
Look
that's
at this picture of Cheryl away. Here. That's Somebody get that dog away from her. I just don't think that she should be in charge.
She
of
looks perfectly nice.
Sultry little.
Creatures. Do you know what she looks like, Sophie?
Little minx.
She looks like a knitter.
She does.
She totally does.
She's knitting tea cozies though. She's
no
knitting,
way.
Yeah, she's knitting like household objects and they're going to be everywhere.
Oh, when she was asked about the incident, she said, well, myself and my son have gotten a lot closer over the last few months. And we just had sex after we were kissing.
I love. She wasn't dressing that up at all. No attempt.
Were they asked strange? If it was the first time? She said, yes, it was. And confirmed the extent of the sexual activity. I'm telling you, there was something going on that was beyond even your average incest. I'm telling you, there's all signs here, isn't there?
What are you suggesting here? What do you think?
Pegging.
All right. So anyway, listen, Laurie, the woman has been like, right. I've asked people to recognize that I'm now
it's
separated
so
from this individual.
Disgusting. So many
disgusting.
People
I'm
listen
so
to this podcast. I'm sorry. You for years.
If there's any, we know that there's definitely a mother daughter who listen. That remember we met them in Galway.
Oh yeah. I don't know now whether the mother actually was.
Why do we mention them now? How uncomfortable for each of them listening.
Because I'm about to just shout out to everyone who listens with their family. Hey,
three of my teachers.
And all of Sarah's many teachers who listen.
All of my friends.
Who
Sarah has to transcribe these
feel uncomfortable.
And to answer a short quiz as a part of her TY work experience. Definition of pegging.
Stop. Now that actually is illegal.
Now that's getting cut. Anyway, that's our creeps of the week.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
It's gotta be.
Okay, they win.
I'm glad that we're starting like on such a low ebb because.
Oh, yeah, I feel so desperately uncomfortable. It's just gotten so dirty.
I have
on.
The story equivalent of some Hanny Sanny to just
beautiful.
Purge us after that. Mine's a fun one.
Will we have a brief touch upon also Creep of the Week Bella Thorne before we get into it?
Yeah. So, this is interesting.
This is fascinating, right? Everyone in the world is angry at Bella Thorne because either you were a sex worker who was using OnlyFans and they now have new rules and that's impacted your livelihood, or you were someone that Bella Thorne promised nudes to and you didn't get your nudes. Everyone is pissed off.
So no one's
except
happy.
For Bella Thorne, who made $2 million in 2 weeks on OnlyFans.
But she has to refund.
Well, OnlyFans has to refund people.
Wow.
So I don't know if she must have.
But it was worth it for the publication and how many times everyone in the world has said OnlyFans in the last week and a half.
Absolutely.
Now, Bella Thorne has always been a bit of an arsehole.
Do tell.
I remember getting into some documentary about her. I was like, man, no offense now if you're listening and you are what I'm
Bella
about
Thorne.
To describe. But Bella Thorne is the, in my mind, was the iconic kid who was homeschooled.
Oh, 100%. I mean, she was a Disney star, so she definitely wasn't properly socialized.
I know. There are parents now listening who might have been tempted because of the COVID shitstorm with school to take on homeschooling. But be warned.
Who in hell went through COVID and said, I might do this full time?
I
fucking love this shitstorm.
I have never seen Bella Thorne. It's Disney
tits.
Thing before. Shake also not her tits. Shake It Up. Never heard of it. Is that Zendaya she's with in that
yes.
program? Zendaya's fabulous, but she did Euphoria. She's transitioned into adult content. Brilliant TV show. Bella Thorne.
Side of adult content.
Touche. So she decided, saying that she was researching for a film, that she would see what it's like to work as a sex worker and therefore set up an OnlyFans account. This was her excuse.
Okay.
And then everyone was like, but OnlyFans, you have to use your, you know, your platforms to promote it or whatever. So like the minute she created an OnlyFans, she just advertised it on her social channels to millions of people and made 2 million quid.
How does this negatively affect others
who are using OnlyFans? Yeah. So then OnlyFans came in and put a limit.
Like a market saturation, isn't it? Or something.
Yeah, so they, well, yeah, first of all, it's distracting away from their content or whatever. And then secondly, OnlyFans changed the terms of use for the site. So they put a cap on, what they could charge for PPV photos.
Pay-per-view photos. Okay. Yeah.
So it had been like...
Hers were $200, am I right?
Yeah, and now the cap is like 50 or
something. She sold them as nudes and they weren't?
She told people, were messaging and she said, are they nudes? And she was like, yeah, nudes, totally nudes.
And what were they? Do we know?
She's like in a bikini or something.
For fuck's sake.
Like, I don't think there was even like a bit of nudie.
That's terrible.
Who are the people?
Now, on Bella Thorne.
Paying for Bella's tits.
Do you know the way everyone's got one smaller tit? Do you know the way?
Yeah, not really, because like, both of mine are just very small.
Are yours? Okay. But like, I've got really small tits, but then one of them is kind of almost in the minus, you know?
Yeah, they're not symmetrical.
They're recovering from breastfeeding at the moment, so they're a bit bigger than you. But basically, they're not symmetrical, right? And so you've definitely got like a slight difference in your tit size. Now, Bella Thorne was dressing for the red carpet, recently enough, and spotted a dress that performed a function that nobody knew any dress should ever perform, which is, look at that.
Weird.
Accentuated.
One tit.
The two tit size difference.
Massively.
Like, that is a very poorly designed dress, or else Bella Thorne has like massive genuinely statement. One massive tit and one very tiny.
Well, we'll never know because she didn't put anything up on her OnlyFans.
Can we put this in black and white on our creep dive?
I think that's body shaming herself.
But it's dress shaming, not body.
Stupid dress.
This is a very poorly designed dress.
But it is true. You know, you're right about the tit. We should be kind of highlighting our weird bits.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
I'm
well.
Not, I'm not. I'm never not.
But that's it. More of that, Bella. Less of the... I don't fucking know. Who is she anyway? She's a young actress.
She's really young.
Has she apologized?
Her apology was shockingly bad, right?
But she didn't care. She just took the money and
she said she was donating the money to
I love that because they never do, and then there's never any follow-up.
No one's going to audit.
Also, donating the money to any charity is total bollocks because it's the individual livelihoods of sex workers that she's fucked up.
Yeah. She said, I wanted to bring attention to the site. The more people on the site, the more likely of a chance to normalize the stigmas. And in trying to do this, I hurt you. I've risked my career a few times to remove the stigma behind sex work porn and the natural hatred people spew. Then she said, I hurt you. I wrote and directed a porn against the highbrows of my peers and managers because I wanted to help with the stigma behind sex. I'm a mainstream face, and when you have a voice, a platform, you try to use it in helping others and advocate for something bigger than yourself. Again, in this process, I hurt you, and for that, I am truly sorry.
It's like, stupid because she could have become $2 million a high profile customer of OnlyFans. Do you know?
Yeah.
If you wanted to achieve that, Bella.
So where
but
did
she didn't want to achieve that?
She wanted 2 million quid.
By not being nude in her pay-per-view. Is that the fuck up here?
I think the biggest fuck up is just being a fucking massive fish and going into this
and
small
blowing
pond
everyone out the water.
Blowing everyone
okay.
out the water.
And being like, I'm Bella Thorne and I don't. You're my titties. Pay me money.
Yeah.
Like,
so it is sort of.
I've got some A-list titties. So like. It's just
why we don't go on OnlyFans. It's not fair.
It's not fair. Okay.
You're so right. I think I could make a killing on there because I think there is a major market for that kind of
asymmetry,
three little things have sucked the absolute life out of them.
Yeah.
They look kind of like an empty nylon stocking just lying atop a rib cage.
Nothing.
And like, people need that, I think.
Maybe Cheryl
totally
and your man
right.
Like, it's very
and her son
taste.
Were just making content for OnlyFans.
They're the things that you would find if you just dug a little. Remember, I talk about the old soiled underwear business plan.
Of course.
Yeah, but then there's tons of other stuff there too. There's soiled brassieres from lactating people. There's a whole market for
lactate.
I'd say there is a really niche market for like the soiled underpants niche. Of podcast
it's
hosts.
Huge. Oh, sorry. That's niche, I'd say. Yeah. Because there's been a lot of sitting when you're podcasting.
Oh, absolutely. You could be like, I did 3 back-to-back recordings. Yeah. Soiled myself over the creep dive.
I love when Cassie goes there because it's so rare. Exciting. Like we are over
it's
there
a
all
Friday
the time.
It's been like she just puts her head in. She comes like Bella Thorne at OnlyFans, and we're like, "Hello,
hi, Cassandra."
I listened to more Joe Rogan this week.
Of course you did.
This week's episode was Miley
took you
Cyrus.
The whole week to listen to. Did see a little clip of that. Where I
would not recommend. The dynamic's very strange. Joe Rogan goes into like hyper dad mode. Ooh. And is like fangirlingly excited by it. It's just wrong. It didn't work for me. It didn't work.
I did see a snippet where they were watching something. Oh, they were watching a clip of Kennedy Davenport on RuPaul.
That's right.
And she was like, Kennedy, yes. And he was like, do you not think they all look the same? And she's like, that's what I think when I watch your show. And I was like,
good one, Miley.
Excellent, Miley.
Yeah, she does a lot of RuPaul chat. That just made me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I felt like
it's kind of like appropriating.
Yeah, she's doing all the language and the stuff. And yeah, I did feel like that's a bit, it just sounded a bit naff.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Definitely. She's been on it a good few times. She loves it.
She does love it. That's cool. Are you allowed?
It is kind of weird though to sort of use the
terminology.
Language. Yeah, like I would feel weird using the language. But sometimes as well, like it's been so appropriated by mainstream that like you'd be unknowingly appropriating drag speak. Do you know the way sometimes like I was
just slips into the lexicon of just everybody.
Well, totally. That's just what happens to all of these.
That's how language works.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is also how the kind of appropriating of like sort of minority sort of slang works too, because then they shove the actual minority that originated it all the way out of the picture, and then you just think that you came up with yas.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate saying that.
I've never said it out loud.
I've never said it out loud.
Do that.
Now, let's
wade
out
can,
of this
I
territory.
Anyway, yes. Yeah.
Some people can. That's fine. It's just an opinion. Blah, blah, blah.
I did fucking love the last season of Drag Race, though.
Didn't see it.
And
the last season of Drag Race was incredibly strong.
Didn't we cover on
the last
dive?
Season of All Stars?
Or is it Sherry Pie? Sherry.
Sherry Pie. The last season of All Stars, even stronger. It was phenomenal. You could have had any three of the top win.
Truly.
I'm in Community, knee deep.
No, I hate that show. There's no women in that show.
There is, but they're all...
It's the Joe Rogan of sitcoms.
Look, it's part of my gig at the moment. I'm
sorry,
very
I don't mean to hate it.
Heavily involved.
And hold you responsible for
but
it.
You're right, it is. It is the Joe
fucking,
Rogan thing.
Oh, it's like Big Bang Theory. Joe Rogan, fucking circle jerk.
It's worse.
Not
it's
a fucking,
worse than the Big Bang Theory.
It's
way worse.
Worse.
But Chevy Chase is in it, okay? And as it turns out, he is a huge dickhead. And always has been.
And then I
kind of knew that going into the show. But then when you know something about all the cast hating one of the leads, it just makes it really satisfying to watch. Understanding the, or giving, it,
oh, yeah,
that's
the,
scratching
the
an itch.
And being like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So people hate one of the leads in Community.
You know, do you know who Chevy Chase is? You see,
what?
Let's just not.
What?
Let's Hold not on, and say we did.
Weird.
So, who has crazy. Who? So, are you bringing us a good? What time are we at here?
37 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So you give us your creep. What do you have?
I have a problematic cult-ish cult. Was it probably a little bit stern? I have a problematic.
She's not okay.
Left of centre religious leader that Julia Roberts really liked.
Ooh. I have a really important hive that I was thinking, we texted before we arrived and I was like, look, this, I don't know, it's a hometown Murray, it's Rained Murray. It's the story of...
trying to keep it in.
Oh, God, just tease it.
Just going to give it to you now.
But the point here is Friday the 3rd, yesterday. What day is today?
Thursday the 3rd.
Whatever the 3rd of September was her 21st anniversary of her death.
Still unsolved.
Still unsolved.
So she would have been 38?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah.
Or, thereabouts?
Yeah, 2 years older than me. So yeah, exactly. And so
48.
Okay, thank you, Cassie. So this is an important, very timely story as well. And I know we have listeners my age and older, as I discussed with somebody on Instagram too. So there's a call out from the Gardaí and everything to jog memory again. Another call out from the family to say, look, if you know anything, it's time to...
Someone knows something.
Yeah, and the key about now is whoever... So she would be 38 now, which means... people, her peers and her friends at the time would have kids now, right? Mm. So they could have kids in their early teens, even older, some of them. Mm. So then you'd feel like, okay, those people might have, feel a little differently than they did then. And there might be.
Yeah, who are you protecting now?
Well, that's it. Mm. They might feel like, okay, now is the time. Because the right somebody thing. Fucking knows something. And this took place 5 minutes away from where I live.
Yeah.
Sure, me and Sophie.
With me and Jen. We're at the site of the murder exactly a week before it took place.
That's right, yeah. Like, and not Saturday, only that, Soaps, but she was drinking in Scots, it's a pub in Dunleary that's still there, that night. And me and Sophie had a gang of friends who used to drink in Walters across the road, the pub across the road, right?
Down the road, yeah.
Had we just been drinking in Scots, we would have known her for sure. She was nearly
exactly our age.
Yeah, she travelled in exactly the same crew. There's people we knew, and Dan as well from the area too knows, who were taking him for questioning. But there was 3,000 people interviewed for this case. So that's all very home, touches on all our childhood, but it's never been solved.
It's crazy. It's a crazy story.
It's a crazy story because
if you've never heard the story,
it's
genuinely worth just paying up one quick month of Patreon.
Well,
patreon.com/creeped.
Do that for the full story.
And catching this story.
But also just to put it on the main app, just the push from her family and the Gardaí at the moment for just to rejig everyone's memory of the story. But I'll tell you the story in the Hive, another hometown, with some personal libelous opinions in there too.
Oh yeah, sexy libel.
Anyway, why don't you take it away?
I'm very excited. Let's go to Sophie.
My headline of this week is the great art attack.
In it, what is it? Go on.
Of Alcatraz.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, I was gonna disappointed.
I thought you were gonna tell us about Neil Buchanan's heavy metal band.
Oh my god! Yeah, that exists.
Can you tell what it is yet?
Secret band. That's embarrassing, you know.
Not yet.
Who are we going?
Can you tell what it is yet? Is that Rolf?
I think that's Rolf.
Oh God!
It's an art attack. That's Neil.
Is he also Italian? Sorry, no. Australian.
No, he's English.
No,
with the red jumper.
I know. Like, far
this
away.
This is an art attack. This is an art attack.
This is art attack.
The dog made out of sheets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The big art attacks. Drone footage from back in the day. They were ahead of their time.
It was not
a
drone.
On a crane.
They
were
definitely wasn't on a drone. I know, but
cherry
like,
picker, but you're right.
That's what I mean.
Inspired the invention of.
Absolutely.
This is an art attack.
And the talking head.
Making sense.
Over to me. Is it?
Certainly.
You're clicking at me. Okay.
Go to the bathroom.
No, you may not. And we'll kiadagum dulgadi on lehrish. Come on, you're back to school.
As soon as I go, keep talking though.
Okay, when you're and then are you going to slink in?
Yes.
Okay. Squeak out there, squeak.
Squeaky. Squeakiest
person in town.
It's cute. Okay.
BuzzFeed headline.
BuzzFeed headline is The Great Art Attack of Alcatraz, which is...
I would have already gave it like 5 minutes ago.
I know it's weak. But basically,
we had a strong reaction to it, so you should have remembered.
It's about the great escape from Alcatraz in the 1960s.
Yes.
Which is a story I feel like we all know.
But we don't.
But there's way more to it than I realized. And I'm very excited to tell you about it.
I can't wait.
I'm also
salivating.
Excited for the fact that in preparation for today's episode, I rewatched The Rock. Seminal mid-90s action flick starring Sean Connery.
They should not and be kissing on Nicolas those steps.
Nicolas Cage. Yes! Yes.
Nicolas Cage. And that's a great flick.
It's fucking class, lads. Like, honestly, this is a genre that I adore. As you know, Con Air is one of my favourite films of all time.
Have you, Cassie's looking at, you've never heard of this.
The Rock.
I have, The Rock.
The Rock. So, like, in The Rock, it's just like, it's a brilliant premise.
Speaking of The Rock, him and his whole family got COVID, sadly. Is passed that away. Not, not true. All, all of them. Each and every rock and pebble in the whole family, dead. Just a beach, sandy beach.
Or I debris.
That is very smart. Good.
That is clever.
Okay, so the Rock is not in any way based on fact.
Damn.
But it was so good to get back to it. And honestly, I recommend everyone have a rewatch. It really holds up. Do you know the way when you go back to those old kind of like, you know, 90s rom-coms or action movies, there's going to be problems. Some dodginess. There's going to be some fat phobia, a bit of racism.
I find it's always a female thing that freaks me, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there isn't really even a scrap of a woman in The Rock.
And that's safe, at least.
Yeah, there's a girlfriend. And at least she is like a somewhat two-dimensional character.
And safe behind bars, presumably.
Yes.
Good.
But this, I swear, like there was very little. It was just pure killer, no filler, very fucking good.
Okay.
So have I mentioned Treasure Island?
Fucking remember the thing I was trying to force you to watch?
No.
Nicolas Cage again. Love. Treasure Island.
I mean, I'll watch anything.
You did tell us.
Waste no time, friend.
Except for that Ghost Face one, Ghost Rider. Wouldn't be interested in that either.
Okay, never mind.
Treasure Island.
Disney Plus. I'll give you my login. You'll never look back. And there's two.
Oh, fantastic.
Listen.
Love it. And in The Rock, not to go on about The Rock for too much longer now, but he actually basically plays his like H.I. McDonough character from Raising Arizona, but just parachuted into an action movie. It really works.
Caring with a man with a daughter.
Yes. Well, no daughter, but like
girlfriend.
He's got a pregnant girlfriend and he's like a bumbling scientist.
Ah, my favorite Nicolas Cage.
Super ripped Con Air Nicolas Cage. He's like really nerdy, nervous Nicolas Cage.
Do you ever wonder what happened to Brendan Fraser, Cass?
All the time. A Vanity Fair did a big piece on what happened to Brendan Fraser.
Flop after flop, flop a lop a ling long.
That's because he did Mummy 1, 2 till 7. Like,
he's just getting paid. Like, I would do that.
George of the Jungle.
I was about to say, George of the Jungle, way more of an
monkey
issue.
Monkey bone issue.
Okay, anyway. So there was a movie based on this story called The Great Escape with Clint Eastwood, made in the late 70s during his kind of Dirty Harry era. Do you remember that movie? Did you ever see it? It's class. She's done it. She did it. She's doing it. Oh my God, Sarah's not here to see it.
You did do Ghost it.
Okay, sorry. For those listening at home.
We were doing
Jen,
we were vaping.
And we were all
studio.
Trying to vape and do this thing where you like vape and it comes out your mouth and then you snort it back up your nose and apparently it makes you look cool and you get a million followers on TikTok. None of us could do it. Jen just sat down there.
Hang on, I'm going to do it again for Sarah.
Okay, here we go. She's done the ghost.
You did that perfectly.
Perfectly.
TikTok, you can suck my tits again.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? It's like you keep missing the most obvious thing in the room. You're setting up all these great jokes and then being surprised when they're funny. You could have gone with TikTok or TikTok. Crap, I'm sorry.
So good. I'm so happy for you getting that though. You nailed it.
Didn't even get to enjoy it because I couldn't see.
You've never looked cooler between the fucking shoulder pads.
Are you crying?
I am. Thank you.
We're going to need to film that.
But now everyone will know we've been sucking off the same.
Better just tell them into the microphone instead.
Okay. That could be a personal thing. You never know.
You never
know. Look at it. It looks like I actually, it's my branded. Little vibrator from Sex Shoppa is almost exactly the oh my size God. And shape.
Now I'm going to think of your vibrator when I vape.
Yay.
I'd say if I could get in the right position, I could vape into my oh vaginal my canal.
I think you could do the ghost using your nose and vagina.
There's a challenge. So that's what it's going to be. My opening, what do you call that thing? The porn site that you sell?
OnlyFans.
My OnlyFans.
It's going to be that.
It's just like, going to be that. You're not in the room. You're not even in the same building today. Sophie, what's your headline again? What are we doing? Welcome to Mother of Pod.
Speaking of, we should totally record a Mother of Pod.
I know. We've a lot to do. We've a lot to do.
It's on the list. Okay. So I feel really bad bringing us back to Alcatraz in the 60s now.
It's fine. She's cut all this shit out.
Okay. All good. All right. Okay. So this escape is one of the most famous escapes of all time because, right, Alcatraz, as you know, I presume, is a prison in San Francisco Bay.
It's on an island.
It's like basically on a rock known as The Rock. And that's what The Rock called himself after, I presume. And it was always known as like the unbreakable prison.
Because of
bit
the
like
island.
The unsinkable Titanic. It's kind of asking for people to fucking do the exact opposite of what you are claiming. So they were always like, no one can break free of The Rock.
We've never lost anybody.
Never lost anybody who's lived. A couple of people have actually gotten out but then drowned and things like that. Because it's a good solid mile to San Francisco.
What's in that in kilometres?
About 1.25 kilometres.
Who cares? Sorry. Don't know why I asked. Sorry. I'll stop.
I'm only thinking in metric these days. So anyway, it was built in the 30s, and when it was built, when the prison was built, it was one of the biggest concrete structures in the world.
But that's
amazing.
Very.
It's kind of mad.
America loves prisons.
They need them.
They will put a lot of money into them.
Ah, yeah, and they cost a fucking fortune. So like in the 60s, when this story takes place, it was cost about $13 a day to keep an inmate in Alcatraz. Versus about $3 or $4 a day in a normal penitentiary. But like, I think they really had a boner for their kind of island prison and they loved the kind of romance of it.
Yeah.
A bit. It was kind of mad. And like Alcatraz, like housed really famous criminals. Al Capone was kept there. Your man, fucking what was his name? Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
So it had a fair share of its celebs. And because it was kind of known as like unbreakable, outable, impregnable, impenetrable, all of those things, able. It was like the end of the prison line for other prisoners who had tried to escape elsewhere.
Right.
They would like eventually they would wind up on Alcatraz. And so there was a big mix of prisoners like who were either like gangsters and like then there was really violent offenders. And
mixed
then
bag.
There was in the early 60s, a prisoner called Frank Morris, who was a bank robber and
love
was
those.
Had been transferred from another penitentiary in 1961 after he tried to break out of yet again another prison. And when they transferred him to Alcatraz, on his transfer papers, they put down his actual occupation, formal occupation as escape artist. And
so that everybody knew.
Everyone knew Frank Morris was... like really ingenious. He was said to have like a really high IQ, really intelligent, but like a real loner. And like prison officials believed he was a psychopath and he didn't have anything to do with other people, or so they thought. Then there was also another bank robber called Alan West, who had tried to break out of a series of prisons and wound up on The Rock as well. And he was like in the neighboring cell to Frank Morris, the psychopath.
I'd say they were just a ball like. You'd just be like, oh God, these guys will not give
just
up.
Stop it.
Stay
just stop it.
In the cell.
But if you think about it, you're in the cell for 23 hours a day. Like, all you've got to do is plan this.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, it's so much effort. God, they were at this for months. But then I'm like, what else are they doing actually?
Like, what kind of ways did they escape from the other prisons?
From the other ones. Okay, so the other two lads I'm going to tell you about are brothers. Their names are John and Clarence Anglin. And they were brothers. And so one of their ways was brilliant. They had been in a Florida prison together. They were done for bank robbery as well. They had robbed a bank with a toy gun and were given like life sentences. Ugh, I think that's why I like this story, because actually none of these lads were
baddies.
Like, no, they weren't like horrible murderers or anything like that. You know the way like bank robbers, kind of whimsical.
Yeah,
we are. We love them.
We love them. We kind of like all lovable rogues, you know?
Totally.
Oh, you're a brat, John Anglin. Would you stop robbing that bank with a little toy gun?
I think it's interesting that they put them all on the island with the high profile guys. Like if they put a load of kiddie fiddlers on the island, no one would pay attention. They were trying to the kind of profile killed? Of the island.
They'd be murdered within days.
But if it was just like Molester Island, that no one would want to go near.
Oh, you
they
know,
could
like
hardly
that
turn
Molester
that into a tourist
in America.
Point.
Jeez, have you yes. ever watched that Louis Theroux?
Yeah, horrendous.
Fucking hell.
Oh,
unwatchable.
God. Yeah, it is.
It's as bad as that lad falling out of the hot air balloon and trying to eat spaghetti. It was just, it's just all very difficult. Okay, anyway. So the brothers had been in this other prison together, the Anglin brothers, and one of them got a job in the prison bakery. And one day a guard noticed that he was like really straining to push this cart of bread. The bread box
was not bread.
He was like, yeah, like he must have been making it so obvious. And he was just about to push it into a lift in the prison. And the guard was like, hey, up. What's in your bread box there? I don't know why I was northern. And Jonathan Anglin's brother, Clarence, was in the bread box.
Oh, for God.
They were like, you two are going to Alcatraz. So they all wound up anyway in Alcatraz in the early 60s. And it was a June morning in 1962 when the alarm was sounded for get up time on Alcatraz, which is 6 a.m., bit of a ball ache. But suppose you're already to bed.
Yeah.
You're already to bed in prison. So they do like a head count every morning and they'd just kind of call through the prison, like, you know, to the bars. And like all the prisoners would come forward to the bars in the front of their cells. And they would do a head count. And so they got to the end of the head count and there was three missing. Now, I don't know why they didn't just come to the empty cell and be like, this is an empty cell. But instead, they like got to the end. Oh, we're down three. Hang on. We'll start again. Everyone back to the. Yeah, we'll start again. And then they were like, wait a minute. Now, they had. In Alcatraz, have you ever seen pictures of Alcatraz? I've been to it twice. I'm obsessed with Alcatraz. It's a bit of a low-key obsession of mine. But like all the cells are side by side, facing outward, you know, facing onto a communal sort of...
That feels like a standard visual.
Yeah. And so anyway, they could see through the bars into these cells that there was three lads still in bed.
Okay.
Just...
Oh, really?
Just bread. A bit tired.
Three men made of bread.
They're either bread. My brother in law used to say that. If you're dead, you're brown bread, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was like, "What? They're either sick or they're dead," was what one of the guards said. And so they opened up one of the prison's cells and pulled off the blankets and the head rolled right off the bed.
Not a body at all.
It was a clump of clothes arranged in the bed to look like a lump under the covers. And then the head was a bit of a papier-mâché and cum situation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Spit on tissue molded
and
together.
And toilet paper and painted. Glue and toothpaste.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Heart attack. These guys were very crafty, as we'll see. So that's it. They discovered that three of the prisoners were missing.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
Because like... As soon as there's going to be no like looking in and being like, he's grand. I don't think they bought them more time.
Every hour through the night, prison guards would come around, you see, and look through the bars.
On the hour.
So what they were seeing in there was the papier-mâché and cum head and literally real human hair on it, eyelashes, real eyebrows that they'd gotten from the prison barbershop. Quartet.
Clever.
Eyebrows. Anyway, and so, you know, so immediately it was like, fuck, the whole island going into lockdown. Like, where are these three lads? We have to find them. We have to find them. We have to find them. And this guy, Adam West, not Adam West, Alan West, the whole time I was researching and I was like, it's just like Adam West, the guy who played Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Is Alan West. Alan West, like real cocky, pipes up and he's like, not going to find him. And they're like, what the who are you? What the fuck? And he's like, I planned the whole thing.
And they're, but they're like, why are you still here?
It didn't go so well. So they locked down the whole island and they could find not a scrap of evidence that the lads were still on the island.
Okay.
Oh, God. They were gone.
So West just wasn't telling them any more information.
He appeared to be cooperating, but he wasn't really telling them like anything that helpful. He told them all about the plans.
Seems like, look, they couldn't have done it without me, but like I only could get them so far. So, look, this is what I know, but it's not much. Like all this extended conversation leading to nowhere.
I think it's just like, oh, so exciting. Just something different to do of a day.
And so what happened?
Okay, so what happened was, it did all start with this guy, Adam West. Alan West. It's not the guy who played Batman. TV's Batman. Alan West was given a job. So you know the way, like they're all given jobs in prison. And this always seems to be the first mistake of every prison guard. It's like giving prisoners like their, prison duty job.
Yeah, okay. Give them access.
As soon as they're given a job, they're plotting through the job how they're going to get out. We've all seen Shawshank Redemption. Jen, more than most.
She loves it.
Fucking loves it.
I fucking love it. I know everybody loves it, but I am one of those everybody.
So anyway, he was given a job. So try and picture the building for a minute, right? It's kind of like three stories of cells on this block. And up between the kind of ceiling of the prison block and the roof of the prison block, there is a gap.
Okay.
And it's actually a gap that can be seen from some of the points within the kind of like lower gallery kind of railed off areas, basically where guards would be walking up and down. They could see this gap and there's loads of like pipes running all over the top of this bit and like bits and bobs of utility infrastructure and shit.
Out to the outside or?
No, it's like between the kind of inner part of the building and then the ceiling of the building and then the roof is above it, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So, but it's not outside, it's inside. It's kind of hard to picture, but basically it's just where all the kind of big pipes and electrics are running. And there is like shafts going, like ventilation shafts that go up out to the roof through this area. But they're all cemented, filled with concrete many years before. They've been filled with concrete. And so this whole spot was all getting really fucking messy and dirty and neglected. And the ceiling above it needed to be repainted. So they gave this guy, Alan West, the job of going up there, repainting, clearing it out a bit. But the guards could see him while he was up there. Like he wasn't just off out on the roof or anything. And he looked at all the vents and stuff and he was like, oh, there's fucking big ventilation shafts here. But he spotted that they were all filled with concrete except for one that was looked clear initially, but then he realized it was actually full of intersecting layers of bars, really strong steel bars going all the way through this vent shaft that did lead out onto the actual open air roof of the building.
Were they there to prevent a person getting out of there?
Yeah, like everything in Alcatraz was thought through in terms of like no escape. It's the inescapable building. So your man Alan was up there for a good few weeks kind of scoping it out and kind of doing his bits and jobs, doing his jobs. And he was always like really mindful that he couldn't be seen to be investigating the shaft.
Of course.
Because you don't want to be seen to be investigating a shaft in a prison. Thank you. But he had the fucking brainwave. He noticed that the shaft, you couldn't get through it, but you could take it all the way fucking out because the building's so old and weathered by this point. It had been standing for 30 years on this like weather-beaten rock out in the middle of the sea. And he said that you could actually work it back and forth. It was screwed into the concrete, but that you could actually get the whole shaft out, basically. So he was like, all right, I like it. And so he decided that he was going to let some others in on his plan.
Okay.
Of
getting out of the shaft.
Yeah. And he knew that the the Anglin brothers, the old bread bin lads, he knew that they had, you know, broken out or tried to break out before. So he was like, okay, I'm going to get them in on it, and I'm going to get Frank Morris, because he has the kind of mind that is going to overcome like all of the problems. And there is just loads of problems, because even once you get out of the building,
you're just you're on the roof of a building in the sea.
Yeah, you're like up like on a three-story building in the middle of the sea. It's issues. There's issues after issues, really. And so he let them in on it. First things first was getting them out of the cells. So, right, they noticed at the back of each cell, there is like a little vent about the size of like an A4 sheet of paper.
Okay.
And they realized that they could take the vent off and they just needed to like dig out
the fucking like
hole.
The film. That I can't.
Just like The Great Escape. The
Shawshank Redemption.
And The Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. Yes. So what they did was at mealtimes in Alcatraz, the guards would count the knives at the end of mealtime to make sure nobody had made it for the knife.
But they didn't count the spoons.
They haven't played Knifey Spoony. Exactly. So they got the spoons and noticed that you could like bend off the bowl bit at the top, snap it off, and there, Bob's your uncle, you've got a kind of a shiv.
Yeah.
Which is even fucking better than a knife. And so you worked over, a period of about 6 months, scraping, widening that hole.
And putting the thing back.
So here's more art attack. So they made mock vents to cover the work they were doing at the back of the cells at night. And so they painted up little, they were very, very lifelike. Initially, they'd kind of tried to cover it with clothes and objects and stuff like that. But after a while, the holes were just getting to be really fucking big holes.
So they made a bigger vent.
So they made a replica of the vent.
Or a small vent and then the fake wall.
Exactly. Yeah. And they were really, really well done. And they got like art supplies from the inmates who did art. And what they did was at night, right? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe nobody at Alcatraz thought this might be a bit of a stupid idea. They had music hour before bedtime at night.
Okay.
So that covered the sound of them digging their way out of the cell. Brilliant. Brilliant. So they finally like broke through the back wall of the cells, right?
Into where?
Into this kind of like cavity that was full of pipes and shit.
Okay.
That's led ran up, to up the three stories behind the cells. So you could climb up all the pipes and top out at the very top of the building.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like at the space where the shaft was. So they what really worked about this whole attempt was that they were painstaking. They didn't rush it at all. They started going out of their cells at night and going up onto the top of the building.
Scoping
it out. To fabricate their raft.
Oh my god,
they're
brilliant.
Building a boat.
So once they were going out, they actually have loads of room for activities up there as well.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Like craft corner.
They were coming in, but the danger of that, they were coming in and out.
They
every
were coming
night.
In and out like nightly, putting their dummy heads that they'd made in the beds and just going up and down for months. Because they basically were like, it would be a suicide mission
to go
without any kind of
Raft
or flotation devices. They were also building life jackets for themselves. The thing is, like, the two brothers, the Anglin brothers, apparently when growing up would swim great distances, so they were good and comfortable in the water, but like Frank Morris and Alan West, not a hope. And so what they were building their raft and their flotation device out of were these like prison issue rain jackets that prisoners were given who were doing work outside.
Okay.
So they would scab these jackets off these lads and like
tear bits off them.
Yeah. And there's definitely a sense that like other prisoners knew perhaps to some extent that there was a plan underway and that there's like a prison code where like if someone's kind of getting going, you fucking
do whatever
you can to help them. You don't cop block
or,
them, you know?
Would you not be like, you cut me in? Or I'm going to destroy your plan.
Yeah, I think if you did that though, then like you'd be just murdered
fucking
with a
yourself
ship in the dining room or something.
Yeah, you know that they have loads of supplies.
Gotcha. Mm.
So they basically got like all the rain jackets and like cut the arms off them and sewed them all together to make big long tube. And then they like joined the tube and then they, so that's the side of the raft. And then they used the body of the rain jackets to make the underbelly, the base of the raft. Sounds like it shouldn't work. But there was a magazine like Mechanics Digest, I think it was called, found in one of their cells that had an article called like how to make your homemade raft.
They myth-busted it.
And so they myth-busted it. Exactly that. And even, right, this is so fucking smart. Your man, Frank Morris, played the, it's not called the squeeze box. What's it
accordion.
Called? The accordion. And he got permission to get some special part for the accordion. But when it arrived, he was able to kind of MacGyver it into being a pump. To pump up the raft.
Amazing.
And the life jackets that they like made for themselves.
It's just an accordion pumping up the raft.
Yeah.
the sound.
But it's during music hours. So it's fine.
It's fine. And somebody else is like. And someone else is like. On the banks of my own lovely Lee. That's for the Corconians. Anyway. So. And then finally the night came. They were all ready. They'd all the gear. And they were like, this is it, lads. This is the night.
We're going for it.
And now the thing is that like your man Alan West, he was the weakest swimmer. And he had put like all his work into fashioning his life jacket in his cell.
He was
obsessed with, I have to nail the life jacket or I'll drown.
Yeah.
And so he had dug until a certain point. And then he'd said to the others, I'm going to leave this last bit. I'm going to use this time to do my life jacket. I'm going to leave this last bit and I'm just going to kick through it on the night that we go.
Okay.
So he basically gouged all the way to a point with his cell hole, but didn't ever go fully through.
Ah, come
fucking
on. Failed to prepare to
I
fail.
Know. Exactly.
He did not get out.
Left without him.
So what happened was, on the night in question, he kicked through all right, only to discover that this fucking big fuck off huge pipe ran exactly directly behind his vent
hole. So he hadn't been coming out and going.
No, he'd been working on his life jacket in the cell.
Okay,
and
the rest.
He'd basically gotten so consumed by a craft project that he neglected.
Know the feeling, you know it. Though. You sometimes, once you get into it, it's like a flow state thing.
It's a flow state, exactly. It says it's very, it's engrossing. It's absorbing. It's why we love it. So poor old Alan West.
Ditched.
Didn't craft work. So
he probably would have drowned, let's be honest.
Well, no, what happened was, right, he couldn't get around this pipe. You can picture it.
Yeah.
And he was freaking. You can picture that too.
Yes.
Kicking the pipe, everything, trying to mangle his body to get around the pipe. The other three lads were, meanwhile, out back already,
waiting
being
for
like, we've got to go. Like, if we're going to go, we've got to go. And then, so I'd say there was a bit of hard decisions, probably some recriminations, you never know.
Never liked him anyway.
But then ultimately, I think your man Alan West was like, look, this is the name of the game we're in.
Go.
You win some, you lose some.
They left him a paddle. In case he managed to kind of like troubleshoot it, and they went. The three of them climbed to the top.
Where did
they
get the paddles from?
Oh yeah, they made the paddles from shelves.
Oh god,
just around the place. I'm telling you, they were incredibly resourceful.
It must have taken
an upcycling extravaganza. It took 6 months. Oh yeah, they were at it around the clock. Like, so they got up to the roof cavity bit. They had already removed the shaft, but then they had like put it back in place with like temporary clamp things.
Yeah,
to give the illusion of very handy, so that it was the illusion that it was still in, but they could remove it quickly. Then
it was
when it came
dark
to it.
For those it 6 dark. Months during the time they were out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they
so they removed the shaft, got out onto the roof. First fucking breath of freedom in, you know, decades. Well, they were in their 30s, so like they'd been in for about 10 years. They got to the side of the roof. They had the raft. They had all their shit. They had to scale down like a 50-foot wall, basically. So there was just like, even beyond just everything they'd already been through, there was still like problem after problem. They had to like scale down this wall. They had to like go over one fence that had barbed wire over the top. With all their shit. Go over a second fence that had barbed wire over the top. All the while evading patrolling officers that were always patrolling the perimeter. It was like 11 o'clock at night or whatever. And they pushed off from one of the beaches. Never to be seen again.
Oh, chronic. All dead.
Well, no.
Oh, sorry.
So your man, right, meanwhile, down.
Successful escape, no bodies.
Well, yeah, no bodies, exactly. So meanwhile, in the prison house, your man had actually managed to widen his hole enough to get out around the pipe.
Hey-o!
Yep. There you go. Up to the shaft.
Hey-o!
Got his paddle, got out onto the roof. He was like, I'm fucking doing it. I'm coming, lads. I'm going to stop. Dead stop. Drop to the ground. Holy fuck. There was a guard patrolling right where he needed to climb down the side of the building. Alan West lay out on that roof for 6 hours through the night waiting
for that guard to fuck off.
And he didn't. And he never did.
So he had to go back to
his cell. And the sun, Alan West watched the sun rising
as he went back into the cell.
And I presume he had a little cry.
No doubt.
He went back down into the cell. So immediately,
because that was his only chance.
That was his shot, because then of course, everything would be blown as soon as they were discovered gone. So he just knew it was over. Game over. So the huge manhunt was launched, right? They were like, we need to find these guys. They're basically
humiliating.
It was humiliating, exactly. It was just a big exercise in saving face for the FBI and the US Marshal Service. They were like, we got to find these guys. We got to find these guys. No sign of them anywhere. Where am I going?
Okay. They're three really handsome lads they as are well. You wouldn't turn fellas, them back in.
They are, but in that classic 60s way.
In that classic 60s, I just got out of prison way.
Yeah, the you slick back hair.
Yeah, you wouldn't turn Clarence in again.
All right.
Really? I think John, Clarence is probably the best looking. Frank Morris, slightly kind of rat features.
If you had to peg one of them.
Definitely Clarence.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Clarence.
Absolutely. So anyway, the authorities were sick that they had gotten away, and worse, that they weren't showing up. They found the makeshift raft washed up the next morning on a nearby island about 2 miles away. And they were constantly trying to be like, see, the raft is here. So like, the body must be dead. Yeah.
Well, if I was escaping from prison on an island, I too would throw the raft back into the sea to throw people off the trail.
Exactamundo.
But if the raft washed up intact, no.
Also, they were hardly going to take the raft like all the way to Mexico.
Yeah.
They were clearly going to switch vehicle at some point.
Three lads walk around with a raft would have been very suspicious.
In matching denim jumpsuits.
But because nobody had ever escaped from Alcatraz, none of the local towns had ever experienced anything like this. So lads showing up looking a bit weird, it may not be their first reach. You know, if you live near a prison, I would imagine very occasionally someone would go missing.
In a jumpsuit.
Well, yeah.
You'd be like, oh shit.
But Alcatraz, it had never happened. So there was never any expectation.
Well, nobody ever made it to shore. A couple of people had made it out. But yeah, they died in the swim and stuff. And nobody'd ever had the audacity to make a boat in secret in the prison.
Like, magic. It's
fucking class. They also discovered a plastic bag that was full of photos and names and addresses of friends and relatives of the Anglin brothers.
Right.
So not there were two theories on this one. They were kind of like, oh, in a way, like if it was such a precious object, surely they would have like secured it better, tied it to them or something like that,
okay,
and not lost it. So other people were like, oh, betcha this is another red herring. They're like throwing this in to make it look like they drowned. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I don't buy either of those.
But wait,
they could have just lost it. Smart enough that if one of them was like, I'm going to take this bag of memories of my family, another one would have been like, if you drop that, we're in trouble.
You're right. There might have been a bit of a skirmish and then
They're not going to be smart enough to do all this and then be dumb enough.
Because if
to take the memory book with
to identify exactly who they are. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But this is hopeful because I think we're all rooting for them, right?
What were their crimes again? Just bank robbery.
And the Anglin brothers did it with a toy gun because they didn't want to hurt anyone.
I love them.
Lovely.
And it was America, so they could have got a gun.
Totally. They had the option. And there was enough guns floating around back then, as there is now.
More.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, it's mad, isn't it? Like,
I know.
I'd never want to live in a country where I could own a gun.
Me neither.
Did you see that video there a couple of weeks ago where they were like, this boy, they got a child actor to go around and see if he could get beer or weed or like dirty comics or like all that kind of stuff.
Dirty comics.
Stop you right there.
Dirty comics.
A dirty comic. That's adorable. Are you living in the 1930s?
Dirty book. Dirty books. And he tried to get all these other things and everywhere they're like, no, you can't get that. I tried to get into a movie or something, they're like, no, you can't do that. And he walked into the store and he bought a gun legally. 14.
America, are you
come
okay
on guys
on? We cut our ties with America after that Zoom, so I'm not talking about them anymore.
Why?
No, we remember on the Zoom we decided America. That we just,
we have American people listening right now.
It's exciting.
But they're probably not gun holders or holding one as they listen. Let's hope not. Anyway, so what do you have there that you were going to say?
Oh, yeah. So sorry. You know, on the like list of friends and relatives and acquaintances and stuff like that. So
yeah.
2 days after the flight
okay.
of the lads, an attorney's office got a phone call and the secretary answered and he was like, I want to speak to a lawyer. My name's John Anglin. And she was like, okay, honey, now what would this be in connection to blah, blah, blah? And what did you say your name was again? And he just said, read the papers. And then hung up. And wait for it. That attorney's office was on the list that was recovered from
now,
that.
That means it was definitely
bag.
Then, has to have been.
So feels like,
unless there was only two attorneys' offices in the vicinity.
No, there's loads.
So
there's loads.
They have to be alive. But also, why would you ring an attorney's office with your real name? Isn't that strange?
Yeah, I feel like you'd reveal it when you got into the room.
Yeah, but maybe just to get put on so they take you seriously, perhaps. Okay, so authorities investigated the escape for 17 years. Okay, but never came up with any promising clues.
Let it go, lads.
And they officially closed the case in 1979 and the three men were declared dead. Okay?
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
Yes.
Okay, for starters, right. Well, one thing I want to say on my theory is there's three bodies going into the water.
Yeah.
Surely, law of averages,
one
at
of
least one of them would have been fined.
Yeah.
And others have washed up in the past.
Okay.
Like there is currents and things like that. And it is kind of like right there beside the Pacific Ocean or whatever. But like to have no trace of the bodies.
Anywhere.
Any one of them is wild. Okay. So the other thing is that there's a couple of like bits and pieces of stories that came out afterwards. So here's one I really like, right? The Anglin brothers' mother, Ma Anglin,
okay,
received a bunch of flowers, no card, every year on her birthday.
They're alive.
For years.
Come on.
They're definitely alive.
When she died in the 70s, a lot of people came out to the funeral, popular family, two very tall
strangers,
women, heavily made up, attended the funeral.
The
funeral was also attended by the FBI because the FBI never stopped watching this family. And apparently the ladies disappeared before the FBI could apprehend them and question them.
That's fucking brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
That's class.
That is good.
Now, also good is...
what about the third guy?
The third guy... there is one sighting of the third guy that in 2011, a cousin of the third guy, Frank Morris, who was big brains of the operation. He was Clint Eastwood in the movie. A cousin admitted that he had met his cousin, Frank Morris, at a park in San Diego soon after the breakout in 1962.
But it was past the
time.
This
cousin admitted it on his like deathbed. Like people were going to the grave with information about this stuff.
Oh, no doubt. Oh. The guards were like, if anybody ever gets a lead on this and doesn't follow. I mean, I'd say the humiliation
like
was driving it all forward.
So much so that right in where is it? A letter was allegedly sent to San Francisco Police Station in 2013.
Okay.
Okay. That claimed to be written by John Anglin. And they sat on it. It wasn't discovered for 5 years by press. Like, they did. They still.
What did the letter 40 say?
40 years later, were so morto, they just wouldn't have it. They just wouldn't have it. So the letter said, "My name is John Anglin. I escaped from Alcatraz in June 1962 with my brother Clarence and Frank Morris. I am 83 years old and in bad shape. I have cancer. Yes, we all made it that night, but barely. If you announce on TV that I will be promised to first go to jail for no more than a year and get medical attention, I will write back to let you know exactly where I am. This is no joke."
And they didn't do that.
No.
No contact was made.
They tested the letter for fingerprints, used like all of their resources to prove that the letter was a true account and truly what it purported to be. But the results were said to be inconclusive.
They just let him die.
Bullshit.
They just let him die.
I swear to
because
God.
Because it was just easier and less embarrassing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He obviously had no insurance and wasn't able to pay for his own care.
He just needed help. Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, "I've got this. This is my one ace in the hole," kind of. And so,
crushing that it was never responded to.
He said in that letter that they'd all made it out and that Clarence Anglin lived until 2011 and Morris died in 2008. So they lived to a good old age in their 70s there. And this went into US Marshal jurisdiction, right? And in 2012, this guy, Michael Dyke, inherited the case. And he said that he'd combed the evidence and he felt that there was definitely enough evidence that they were still alive. Obviously, there was the reports of mother receiving flowers. There was also like a picture sent to the Anglin family that allegedly shows John and Clarence taken 13 years after their escape.
In Brazil.
In Brazil.
Standing beside a big rock as a way of telling us.
Totally.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And they're wearing like blue and stuff like that. The Alcatraz prison jumpsuit was denim. I just feel like it's all very telling. There's a tree. The lads in question have facial hair and sunglasses on.
Obviously.
But they obviously had to be careful, you know?
That's very interesting.
Yeah. I think there was loads of kind of misnomers and kind of different leads like... you know, an officer in San Francisco on the night of the escape said he'd seen a white boat out in the bay that had no lights on, but it appeared to be like shining a flashlight into the water.
Look, people are full of shit. And they could never find it.
Well, that's true. There's loads.
They love getting just their oar in. Actually, this, you'll hear about more of those full of shit people in my story in The Hive.
Excellent.
And the kind of the drama stirs up, like, I think I saw something too, like everyone wants attention.
Everyone wants the attention around the time.
Yeah.
But the family members of the two brothers, the Anglins, like they only eventually, like on his deathbed, their brother, the two boys' brothers, said that he had been in contact with his convict brothers from 1963 until 1987. So
confirmation.
Like, at the, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah, they're
alive. It
feels
alive. Like they totally made it.
They lived.
They totally lived.
Fantastic. Good for them.
Absolutely.
Just pure class. Like, that's crafting and an art attack it that really pays is. Off.
Thank you for that glorious story. And thank you for listening to The Creep Dive. If you want more, I'm about to give you more. But you're going to have to pay for it.
Do it. Pay for it, lads. Come on.
Do you know, someone was on saying that we lured them in, or you lured them in with your hometown tale, not last week, the previous week of Lying Eyes. Yeah,
oh,
they were like,
out? Oh,
I came
I'm in.
The oh, it'll be uploaded.
Yeah. Oh, it's today.
Weird. Oh, it's today. It'll go up today. Sorry. Anyway, that's Drew in. She's obviously paid and it's not there. So hopefully she's still.
Oh, damn. It's
anyway, whatever. It'll be there. Thank you all so much. Thank you to our current patrons. You're really helping us
You're
out.
You're our favourites.
We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.